Let's open our time together in prayer. Father, again, I thank you for this resurrection morning, that you are risen, that you are alive, and in you we have life. A life that needs to be shared with others. God, I pray that you use this message to embolden us, to encourage us, to lead us, to guide us, to mold us, to shape us. God, you've given me this message, and I pray that I would fearlessly and boldly make it known. I thank you for selecting me for such a time as this, and I pray that I would represent you well. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as is my custom, on this resurrection morning, I'd like to pose a question that pretty much every one of us needs to face. Ready? What are you going to do with the resurrection? We celebrated it last year. We celebrated it the year before. We celebrated it the year before. We celebrate. But today, what are you going to do with the resurrection? For many of us, the celebration of Jesus' resurrection is not too much more than a time to get together with family. Muster up enough courage to go sit in a church for an hour or so, and then they go to a family member's house and they eat copious amounts of food without acknowledging the true meaning for the get-together. Will we even spend 30 seconds in prayer before we eat, recognizing our Savior and our Lord? To serve as a reminder today, I want to share what Matthew had to say in Matthew 28, verses 1 through 20. It's the whole chapter. But I think Matthew gives good account of what took place almost 2,000 years ago on this day that we're celebrating, and then the days and weeks that followed. So I just want to read the whole account just to prime the pump. We read it, Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Verse 5, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he's risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Verse 8. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You're to say, the disciples came during the night and stole away the body while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, They worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Right out the gate, the resurrection is something we must believe. This story is great. People are falling like dead men. People are mustering up lies. Women are excited and fearful. What took place this morning? Have you ever even stopped to think? As you read through the four Gospels, you'll see that Jesus spoke to the disciples about his resurrection a number of times. This was familiar. In Mark 9, at verse 31, we read, "He said to them, 'The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise.'" I don't know. Now, I understand these guys didn't read the book. They're living firsthand, and I think we would probably respond the way they did. But in Luke 18, 31 through 33, it says, "Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, 'We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that's written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He'll be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he'll rise again.'" How many here have a Bible? How many here read the accounts? These guys had the accounts. They had the scrolls. They had Jesus telling them firsthand what's going to happen. And what gets my attention is day of, when it actually happened, they still struggled to believe it. It's too much to take in, isn't it? Even when you read the story, you know, people are dying or falling like dead people. They're running around, they're getting paid off. I mean, it's a grand story. And that's why I always say God's word is the account. This isn't a little fairy tale. This took place. And because of it, church, we have life. To this day, when it comes to the resurrection, you're either going to believe it, or are you going to reject it? Do you believe it? Please don't reject it. The Bible says when the women came to tell the disciples about Jesus' resurrection, they were met with unbelief. What? That's what God's word says. Luke 24, 10 and 11 tells us it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. They were there. Can you imagine the story? No, did you see the guy on the cross? He was a bloody sack of nothing. And you're telling me you saw him? You touched him? You worshipped him? Mark 16 12 and 13 says, "Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they didn't believe him either." So they got women, they got guys telling the same thing. Too much to take in. John 20, verses 24 through 25 gives the account of Thomas's response. We read, "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe.'" Thomas, One of the chosen 12 walks with Jesus for 3 years, and yet he doesn't believe. Would you agree if Thomas can be filled with unbelief? So can we. This is an amazing story. Who told you about Jesus? Why do you believe? At the center of the gospel is an open tomb. Did you ever wonder who the stone was rolled away for? Clearly it wasn't rolled away for Jesus. Was it rolled away for the women to come and finish what they started on Friday? Was it rolled away so the guards could form this story to begin a rumor that Jesus' body was stolen? The stone was rolled away for you and for me, so we can peer in and see for ourselves. He's not there. Bryden did a great job of describing what they saw and how they saw it on the Lenten services. Look, the first thing the women did was they proclaimed the truth of the resurrection. And how did they do it? They ran excitedly from the tomb to where the disciples were. They took an action and they went with a motive. Their mission and their thinking was clear. And I'm thinking what they were thinking is, Jesus is risen from the dead. How can we keep this to ourselves? Everybody has to know. We'll go tell them all. How do I know the message of Jesus today? Because almost 2,000 years ago, some angel touched the planet and he told some unlikely women to go tell some unlikely guys to go tell the world. And the message has been going ever since. Do you believe the message? Is it okay that we have two heads, maybe three, depending on how deep your relationship is? Because the world thinks we're nuts. Why do you believe? From the women at the tomb, to the two men walking to Emmaus, to the 11 disciples, to 500 people who saw Jesus, they all made him known. The truth that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead became the central teaching of the church. Yes? I think that's why we know today. For us today, the truth of the resurrection needs to be the center of everything we have to tell someone about Jesus. This is a lost and dying world who needs to know Jesus. Why? Because he changed my life. He's changing my life. He's changing your life, I hope. But who are you going to tell? See, it seems to me the world isn't interested in a Savior who lived. They need to know a Savior who still lives. Yes? He's risen. He's alive. He still saves. He still delivers. He restores. He refreshes the weary. I know this because I experience it to this day and tomorrow and the next and the next. How many celebrate resurrection every day? How many celebrate Christmas every day? Romans 10:14 says, how can they call on the one in whom they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one in whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? The resurrection is a truth that must be proclaimed. We can't keep it to ourselves. We can't hide it under a bowl. We have to tell it to everybody. Because if you don't, who will? You folks walk through doors I don't even come close to. Who's going to be the voice? The truth is, for the true disciple, the resurrection is a truth to be lived out. We're no longer the same people we were. We've been resurrected out of an old lifestyle. Our habits have changed. Our thinking has been changed to a brand new way of living. God has done the work. Or maybe doing the work. Colossians 2:13 reminds us, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgives us all our sin. How many of our sins? All. Being a disciple means living in resurrection life. This is more than a resurrection simply being a part of a belief system or a theology. It's something to be lived out every day. We know about God. We know about Jesus. We know all the right things to do and say, but are we living for Jesus? Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-19, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying, because of the truth of my resurrection and all authority being given to me, I call you. Put your name there. I call you, James, to live in the power and the authority of the resurrection. I'm no longer the way I were. I am reflecting Him to the best of my ability through the knowledge of Him. I want to be a light in the world. That's what Jesus, His first sermon, He says, live this way, and these people will be what? Blessed. You'll be the salt of the earth. You'll be the light of the world. And it began at the resurrection. The angel said it. The women believed it. They didn't cower. They went out joyfully and in fear. I go out joyfully. Jesus saves. And I stand trembling every Sunday here. But I stand here in the newness of life saying, Jesus saves. He's risen. He's alive. So how do we do this? How do we walk in resurrection life? We be on mission. We have a vision to spread the good news of the resurrection to everyone we meet. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Because when you say that to someone, more often than not, the response is, I have never talked about God with somebody and had a difficult conversation. I guess that's just God's sovereignty. But when you say Jesus, people usually talk about Him. I never go out and say, hey, I got my mission in the pocket today. I'm going to do this, 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 and this. I just go. And God says, talk to that one. Listen to that one. Show them this. There's no recipe for sharing the gospel. We're to be ready in season and out of season to proclaim that which we believe that gives us hope. And we do it gently and in love. Verse 19 says, and I paraphrase, go therefore into the neighborhoods, into the workplace, into the market, into the streets, into the park, yes, even into the church. To do what? Not bring the news of the risen Christ, but to make disciples. Verse 19, go into the world and preach Jesus. Go into the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Him you find life. Verse 20 says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The resurrection is a truth to be believed, to be proclaimed, and to be lived out. Sundays, sometimes Wednesday. Everywhere you go into the world, Jesus is with you today, tomorrow, to the end of the age. And without Jesus, you have no hope. You're going to hell. Who told you about Jesus? And why do you believe? And who do you have to tell someone about Jesus? Could be today while you sit around the table, eating copious amounts of food. Don't let this day pass you by. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are risen. I thank you that you endured so much for me. And your word says you did it for all. Father, use us effectively for making a difference in your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.